welcome, 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 everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
We are back once again, the Sports Authority and other stuff. And we took a little vacation, I guess you could say, Paris. How you doing this evening, brother?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How about your 60-year-old self? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. have problems over here, bro. I've been trying to get in. I had to, and when people say, why do you keep a home phone? Man, I tried to call in 7 times with my cell phone to this show, and 7 times it told me, thank you for calling, goodbye. I pick up the home phone, call 1 time, get through. I mean, I was able to put the code in to start the show. So this, people, is why I keep a home phone at $10 a month. But anyway, man, it's been a minute. We've got the NBA playoffs going on. The MLB baseball season is going strong. We've had an NCAA championship game, I think, since we did our last show. And then, of course, we've had the NFL draft. So I'll put it on you, man. Where do you want to start?
I guess we can start with the draft.
Okay, well, floor is yours, brother.
It's sort of, as far as the draft, I'm going to take it to a Chicago spin, because otherwise the draft, I think, wasn't, the draft's always fluid. Never really know what's going to happen, even though we do a million mocks, and, the experts sort of tell us this is going to happen, this will happen. Even though I heard Gil Brandt, who's known as the father of the modern draft, say that this was the hardest draft he's had to predict ever, because of the amount of players that were pretty much in the same category as far as talent.
Correct.
With that being said, what the Bears did, they sort of sold the news. Because not only did no one have them taking a quarterback, to trade up to select a quarterback that it looks like, you could have gotten it at 3, if you would have stayed there and saved your draft pick, is one of those decisions that 3 years from now, Ryan Pace is either going to look like the smartest guy in the room, or he's going to have a new job. We shall see. I think that this signals the end for John Fox. I was looking at our schedule the other day, and quite honestly, my first glance at the schedule, I said, okay, we can go 8-8. Then I went, okay, that's my home rise. Let me look again. Then I said, okay, 7-9 maybe. But when I honestly look, I think more like 5-11 now. So I think that's going to be enough to get Fox fired. Plus, we have the quarterback, so usually when that happens, you have to get the offensive-minded guy in there. So I'm going to make a prediction. Not really a bold one, and I'm not happy about it, but I think that next year, this time, Josh McDaniels will be the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Who?
Josh McDaniels.
Okay, just want to make sure I heard you right.
Yes, the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots.
Okay, yeah, because I heard you, but I had some stuff going on over here, so I want to make sure I heard you.
Yes.
Well, my take, Paris, I watched the kid play 4 or 5 games. And I think as days have gone on, more people are starting to say what I've been saying from the very beginning, which is it's not the kid so much as it is what they did to get the kid. I listened to an interview that Ryan Pace, that he did. And he said, the one thing he said, and this is his job, right? This is his career. This is what he does for a living.
Right.
He said, if you see a guy that you think is that guy and you stand pat, then you're not doing your job. He said, if I am a GM and I'm drafting scared or if I'm drafting safe, then I'm not really doing my job. And I would have to agree with him that if he now sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes the safe pick is also the right pick or the good pick or the logical
pick. Right.
As a Bear fan, I haven't had a quarterback here that I was excited about since Jim McMahon.
Correct.
So we're talking 83 through about 90, maybe. right. 90s. So I'm not mad. I wish we didn't give up the picks, but like I also said, in 3 years, if this dude is, and I'm not even going to compare him to Aaron Rodgers or the greats, because that's not fair. But if this dude in 3 years is our starter, he's proficient, and he's really good at what he does, nobody will remember these draft picks. And if they do, they'll say, ooh, that was worth it. But how much do you think people would hate if we passed on him and he was that guy? You know what I mean? So I'll give Pace kudos for going out and making the pick that he thought was a good pick. I don't necessarily agree with the aggressiveness, but hey, I'm not on the other end. You know, he also said that we were getting a lot of calls about the number three pick. And he said, you best believe if they're calling us for the number three pick, they're calling San Francisco for the number two pick. So nobody really knows, Paris. You don't know. I don't know. The reporters. Nobody really knows if he played himself, if he got played, or if he did what he had to do. All that matters going forward is how this kid plays. 347-637-3859 if you're listening on the website. If you've already called in and you want to get in on the show, press the number one button. We have a few people that have already called in. Press that number one button if you want to get in. So with that said, Paris, when you look at the Bears draft, now here's where it gets good. You and I, we've discussed the number one pick. We all know how the city feels. We know how the fan base feels. The question for you is, what about those other four picks? How do you feel about those?
And this is one of those situations where I guess I'm just going to have to trust Pace, because going into the process, I was thinking safety, cornerback, five technique defensive end, tackle, quarterback. And I thought we were still going to take the quarterback. I just thought it'd be a later round guy. Maybe the third, fourth round guy. You stick him on the bench for a couple years. See what you have. Maybe a Brad Kaya type guy. That ilk. So when I look at, and that's my main thing. I think what you said, one thing about Trubisky is we have to remember is that, there was speculation that Cleveland, I'm not sure if it's good, maybe Cleveland was thinking about doing this, but Cleveland was considered taking a guy first. I've had many talking heads say that they felt like he was the best quarterback in his class. Me personally, I'm a Deshaun Watson guy, but that's just me. But I've heard other people say that he was he was the best quarterback. I think most of the, what also threw the fans off the loop is that, all these insiders, the guys that tell us that they know what's going on, and the guys who tell us, hey, we have sources, they all missed it. They all missed it, because I don't know if you were watching ESPN, because I was watching ESPN coverage. And Shefty, who's one of the most credible guys in the business, were saying the Bears are going to trade down. That's what he was saying after the first pick. So I'm sitting here going, okay, fair enough. We trade down, drop back, get a couple more picks, probably pick up a second rounder. Okay, I'm on board with this. Then the Bears trade up. And once again, I don't know if you were watching, but after we traded up, they all put the camera on Solomon Thomas. Mel Kiper and all those guys were going, hey, traded up to take Solomon Thomas. So I'm going, man, we traded up to take Solomon Thomas. I was wishing it was Jamal Adams. So when they said Mitchell Trubisky, I was like, wait a minute, where the heck did this come from? As far as the rest of the draft, I honestly thought that we would address secondary. We went tight end. The guy was ranked as the fourth best tight end on a couple of boards there that I looked at, went back and looked. So it's not like a out-the-dark pick, but per se, it didn't seem like a big position of need. You still have Miller there. He's always banged up. You signed the Sims guy. You have Daniel Brown coming back that I know you liked last year. So I didn't know about that pick. The running back, once again, you can always use a third down running back. But did we outsmart everybody and go and get the small town guy? The safety, that was the one pick that actually made sense. I know he had broke his leg, but I liked him in Alabama. We haven't had a good safety since Mike Brown.
And a torn ACL, I found out.
And a torn ACL. And then we went offensive linemen, which, okay, if we were going to go offensive linemen, it seems looking at our roster, if you look at the interior of our line between Whitehair, Fat Jesus, and my man Long, we're good there. And you also have Coops, and you also have Grassu, you know, the high draft pick, second round draft pick coming back from injury. So the interior of the line seems straight, so you would figure you would go with the you know, the tackle guy in room, you know, maybe behind Nancy. But instead, we take a tackle. So it was just a draft where this is one of those things where, you know, Pace is just going to have to prove to everybody that he knows what he's doing. You know, he always said it was a 3-year plan when he took over. It takes 3 years to turn over the roster. Going into this offseason, I believe there were only 5 guys on the roster that was here when he took over. So now, moving forward, this is 100% his baby. You know, this isn't Phil Memories anymore. This is his baby. Most GMs get 2 coaches, so he'll get another coach. You know, Fox seems like he's a solid dude, but the writing is on the wall. So we'll have to see, Corey. I'm not gonna lie. We'll just see on this one. We'll just see.
And I'll say this before we move on. I listened also to an interview that McCaskey did. And I don't want to misquote him, so I'm not going to misquote him. I'm just going to paraphrase. He basically sounded as though, to me, in my opinion, and the opinion of a few other people, it sounded like he was saying, he doesn't have to worry about his job right now. We're going to give him time to get this right.
Right.
And
right,
if that's
yeah.
the case, then, you know, maybe he told him, look, go out, get some pieces now, you're safe. Now, as for John Fox, as you alluded to earlier, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, because the GM is going to get 2 coaches.
And the GM's job is to build a base to
right.
build from going forward, whereas the coach wants players right now. Now, and I'll say this before I'm done with the draft coverage. The video of the tight end, I don't really have an opinion. I'll just say this, though. It's like when
yeah.
you watch – I mean, because you can't. I mean, how can you? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's very reminiscent of when you watch the film of a high school kid and then somebody like me comes in and goes, yeah, those dunks are real cute, but this is a highlight package. It's not a let's show his bad stuff package. He was running over people Division II. I like the size. I like the speed. You know, he could be the biggest impact player of the draft. Because I don't know what we're going to get from the safety with the broken leg and a torn ACL. And I don't know what we're going to get from the 5-6 halfback. Although I don't mind the pick, I just hate that it happened so high, man. I don't know what he gives us that we couldn't have got from a different halfback in the 5th round. And he could prove me wrong, but.
Right. And before we move on, because I know we're about to move on, the one thing I will say which gives me pause for concern is that, you know, like I said, all these GMs seem to have, they all take the same public relations class where, you know, when you listen to them speak, they can speak with so much conviction. You know, they could have drafted me and you, and Ryan Pace would have made it sound good. But I think
well,
they would have
said 20 years ago.
My thing is that, you know, he said one thing before free agency, and then went against himself. I still remember that, you know.
There's a lot of that going around in Chicago management.
And the difference with Chase and the free agency is that he talked about how money would not be a factor because, you know, the Bears were strapped with cash. And he said
mm-hmm.
how he – you have to have impact players that can make impact and win games.
Right.
He addressed the secondary. He did get the impact players like Bouye and Gilmore.
We went the safe route
with the Akamoras of the world. Now, the previous year, he did the same thing where he kicked the tires on Josh Norman and Jadoris Jenkins. But once again, he played it safe. So when you come to the draft, and I'm listening to him talk about quarterbacks, and he talked about one thing you look is for a guy to elevate his you know, the program and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, who elevated a program more than Deshaun Watson? You know, Mitchell was what, 8-5 as a starter? You know, nothing to do, but that's not elevating a program. So it seems like he sort of contradicted himself, and at the same time went smarter guy in the room, where it seemed like after a while he was like, you know what, I know we have kids here that people would know, but I'm going to go out of my way to draft three guys that everybody's going to go, who the heck is this? That's
right.
Almost what
right.
It felt like he did. But only well,
it did. That's exactly how it felt, Paris, because, again, it's one thing to trade up and get the guy. Okay, nobody's tripping on the pick, but it's like you said, it's the smartest guy in the room syndrome, because you made this big trade, and you're like, look at me. I know I made the right call. Maybe he did. Then he goes in the second round, and he gets a tight end from Division II school. Hey, y'all, look at me. I'm the smartest guy in the room. Then in the third round, he gets a 5'6 halfback. What up again? It's me, smartest guy in the room. Fourth round, he gets a safety with a broken leg and a torn ACL. Once again, taking a chance. Look at me. I know something y'all don't know. That the whole draft is like, I know something you don't know.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. It just felt like wow.
But as we've said before, Paris, draft talk is really good as far as entertainment. It's great for radio. It's great for shows like this. It's great for podcasts. It's great for blurbs and for blogs and for blogs. It's good for all of that. But you really don't know what you have for another at least 2 to 3 years. You know, sometimes you go back and look at drafts and you think back like, ooh, I was really thought that Bears didn't get that dude. He was a bum. Like,
now,
I was arguing on my page about the 49ers and the Browns, and I'm like, do you really want to use what they've done in the last few years as logic for your argument? And then I went back and I posted the drafts for the 49ers the last 3 years and the Browns. And I'm like, so who on there do you know?
Here's the question I have for you that I had with a Bears fan today.
Yes.
Because he was saying, well, you know, Trubisky's not going to play for a couple years.
Probably
personally,
not. I think it
now
plays.
This is where I differ, because I think he plays this year, Corey.
Oh, yeah, he's going to play this year because the team's going to be bad.
Exactly. And that's what I told him. I said, we're going to be bad. We're going to be looking at, you know, 2 or 6, 1 or 7, and the Naders are going to be real restless. And the thing is going to be, okay, we know this Glennon guy, which is sort of, you know, like a guy. And if we're bad, it probably means that he's playing, you know, not good football. And at that point in time, it's going to be, hey, we want the kid. If we're going to be bad, let's be bad with the kid.
I'm going to add another little part to that before we go to the rest of the draft. Not only that, but if you end up at 2-6 or 1-7 or 3-10, at that point, and I know people don't like to say, hear the word, come on, I'm having a brain cramp. Nobody wants to hear the word, help me out, Paris, when you try to lose games. I'm having a brain cramp. When you try to lose games.
Tank.
Nobody wants to hear the word tank. But I think if you're Ryan Pace at that point, you're like, if the kid can get 3 games in under his belt and we lose 3 games, if we happen to win one, cool for his confidence. If we don't,
but see, the one thing that makes it different in the NFL than every other sport when it comes to that tanking thing is because the NFL is such a year-to-year, you know, it's a year-to-year deal, and you have grown men in there putting their bodies on the line each week, and you can't sort of do a discredit to them by saying that pretty much we have no chance it's a fine line.
Understand when I say tank, I don't necessarily mean try to lose. I just mean, hey, look, we're not winning. Let's get the young guy in. And by proxy, getting the young guy in is going to more than likely mean a loss. But here's the other key. You look at Jared Goff. And what's my man, Fishers, just said he wasn't ready. He didn't want to play the kid because he didn't think he was ready. If Trubisky isn't ready, John Fox is not a rookie coach. John Fox is not scared to say no.
Yeah.
And right now, John Fox probably isn't happy, too happy with the way things went down. So I'm sure he'll have no problem saying, nah, the kid ain't ready. But we'll see. Let's move on to the rest of the draft, though, Pierce. Let me ask you, off the top of your head, was there another pick in the first round? Let's just go with the first round. Was there another pick in the first round that stood out to you, and or was there one, stood out to you in a good way, and outside of the Bears, was there one that stood out to you in a way that left you scratching your head? Off the top of your head.
Well,
I know you weren't ready for that.
No, that's okay. Not a head scratcher, but I tell you what Kansas City did in the quarterback position, that's a direct shot across the bowl of Alex Smith.
Yeah.
When you move up 17 spots, yeah, they put him on notice.
And may I add, Paris, real quick, that Mahomes going into the draft, the week before the draft, was, according to what I read, a third-round pick, third-round projected pick. Now, understand, Andy Reid, he can work. He made Alex Smith look decent, so Andy Reid can probably coach the guy up. Bears didn't do what they did. I think there'd be a lot more talk about what Kansas City did. But the Bears are taking the spotlight. Did you think that was a good move as far as the projections, the pre-draft, screening hype, whatever? What did you think about that move overall?
My projections I was reading was a little bit different because everything I was seeing had them going in the first round. It seems like the Texans were the most logical spot. But three quarterbacks were all projected to go in the third round with Kaiser falling out, which he did.
Was that assuming that Trubisky and
Watson,
is that assuming those two were gone and they were going to draft them at 27?
Right. Well, the thing was Texans moving up to try to get Watson or Mahomes. And once that happened, as far as Mahomes going to 10, then that only left Deshaun Watson, and he wasn't going to make it out of the first round. There's no way he was going to make it out of the first round.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been at least. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that was a surprising pick for me as well. I shouldn't say it was a surprising pick for me, Paris, because, again, all the projections I read had him rated as, like, the fifth quarterback behind Trubisky, Watson, Kaiser. I'm missing somebody. And there was one other quarterback that they were kind of tossing back and forth. But then, like you
it,
said,
it had
I,
to
I,
be
I,
well. It
was a good
well.
It was, the kid from California?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were right there neck and neck. And I think he went to fourth. I think he went in the fourth round.
Right.
But overall, I think I was a little surprised that Marshon Lattimore, for example, I'm surprised he lasted to number 12. I'm surprised that I'm surprised Lattimore went to 11. I'm surprised that Deshaun Watson lasted till 12. Not that the teams ahead of him would have drafted him, but I'm surprised that nobody traded up to get him. And maybe the I don't want to say weirdest pick because the kid was a Heisman candidate. Christian McCaffrey. I did not see taking Christian McCaffrey.
Man, there was talk of that guy going four. And one of the mocks I did, I had him going to Carolina because they need that. They really do. They need that. Now, they doubled down and took the Samuel kid from Alabama later on in the draft as well. And he's a slash running back wide receiver type. But I think McCaffrey pick –
from Ohio State.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Ohio State. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I think that pick, that was a very good pick.
Oh, no. I didn't say it wasn't a good pick now. Don't get it twisted. I think it's a very good pick because he's great out the backfield as far as if Cam is being pressured, a nice little dump off. He can run the ball. I think a lot of people need to get past – if he was a black dude, there'd be a lot less skepticism about what Christian McCaffrey can do. I think he's going to have a successful career. And people smarter than us drafted him at 8. People smarter than us as far as, evaluating talent at least, drafted him 8. So, but I was surprised because I didn't think he was going to go that high. I think he's good. I'm not salty at the pick at all. I did not see him going high. I didn't see.
There was mocks with him going 4 to Jacksonville. So I knew he was going in the top I know, the one surprise, the kid from Alabama, Foley. That was sort of a shock. Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
All the way to 17. That's a shock. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. And I think that's why the NFL draft, more so than any other draft, to me is such a great watch, because nobody thought Mitchell Trubisky was going to go 2, right? Leonard Fournette, all right, Corey Davis, we didn't know if he'd go 5, but we knew he was going to go. But then you have other guys that are sliding out. Patrick Mahomes moves up to 10. It's just an exciting time, man. And at the same time, it's one of those situations where it's the best and the worst, because you also get to look at the kids that don't get drafted. And, I know some people laugh and poke fun, but I can't imagine what it's like to watch my dreams be crushed on national television. That has got to be the worst feeling in the world. But at the same token, once you get picked up, that has to be the driving force that gets you into your books, into your playbooks, and into your study sessions.
How many kids do we have left in the green room? Because I think it was only one this year.
I don't know.
It was only one, because it seems like the pool of guys coming to the draft has gotten smaller. I've noticed that over the years. It has gotten smaller.
Cats don't want to be there, man. Ever since Aaron Rodgers, it seems to have been kind of dwindled down year after year. After Aaron Rodgers left 27.
You have guys now like Jameis Winston to get endorsement money for being at home and picking up a certain type of phone and things now, too. So that's also coming in play. Guys being endorsed by being at home and maybe, being on an iPhone or
wearing
this type of shirt. Or
being at some restaurant having their party at a restaurant. Yeah, it's true. That's true. All right. Well, before we move on to the NBA playoffs, overall, what did you think about the draft? I thought the Philly fans were really into it, man. And I really. But you know what I forgot to mention? I'll be damned if I don't mention this. The old dudes were showing up, man. They were coming. They were coming to the party, like they had just had a couple drinks up in them. I mean, was it Drew Preston? Was going
Drew
at the fans?
Pearson.
Hey, Drew Pearson.
He's
going.
What he did,
dude.
That was great.
I loved it.
Even my wife
was
going, who is this guy? Because he was giving
Pearson,
to the fans.
It was cool.
It really was. It was cool.
I thought it added a little something to the festivities myself.
It was funny because they interviewed him, and he said before they came out, he said that he sort of mentioned to Goodell, well, I was thinking about, maybe saying this, but, a little bit unsure. And he said Goodell was like, do it.
Right.
pretty much like, go ahead, let your hair down. Have some fun with it. And that's what made him go into that little rant, which was, that was a great rant. It really was. And I hate the Cowboys, but that was pretty cool.
Dude, I was sitting there watching this, and there's like a part of me inside that was getting fired up, like, this dude thinks he's 25 again. He thinks he's walking into the stadium in Philly, getting snowballs thrown at him. He was ready to go, man. I loved it, Bears. I loved it. I hope they do more of it, and I hope more of the old guys come, and I hope more of the old guys take shots. I'm all for
without
it. Because we know it's not going to go any further than right there on the stage. Then again, maybe some of them old dudes, they didn't play all that let's hang out in the summer stuff. So they might be back there 60 years old, back there throwing blows. Who knows, man? Who knows? Hey, the White Sox are up 2-0. We need a win after losing the last two. Oh, Saturday night, Darby's, I see you on. It is the Hawk Clock Giveaway Night. You've heard about that, haven't you, Paris?
No, what are they doing?
It's a clock with Hawk's face on it, and it has all the Hawkisms as the alarm. So if you have your alarm set, it might wake you up to you can put it on the board, yes. Or it might make you up. See, you've got to be bleeping me.
That's real.
I want one. I want one. It's not this week. I'm sorry. It's next week. Darby's not this Saturday. Next Saturday. There's a part of me that really wants to go. It's a 6 p.m., 6:10 p.m. start against the San Diego Padres. So, anyway, just wanted to get that out of the way. Once again, 347-637-3859. You've already listened in. If you're already called the number and you're listening, press the number one button. Jump in on this conversation because, you know, Paris and I like to hear people agree with us or disagree with us. It makes for fun conversation. So anyway,
sure does.
Let's go to the NBA, Paris. No. First, before we go to the NBA, let me just say, let me ask your thoughts because we haven't been on since the NCAA championships, the NCAA finals. Real quick, because it's been a little while, so we're not going to get too deep. What were your thoughts about the NCAA tournament? How it ended? Just real quick thoughts.
I thought Brad Underwood was a great hire for Illinois. And the more videos I watch with them and the staff lets me know we're heading in the right direction. As far as the other teams, good job, North Carolina. Like I said, I sort of picked them to win it, but that doesn't make me like Negro Diamonds because they were like the best team coming into the tournament.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good tournament. Nice competitive games in the Final Four. We say it every year, and they never listen to us. It's only a matter of time before a kid gets hurt on these raised up floors. But they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it until, unfortunately, some kid comes off, comes down, due to him coming down, he hits. You know, unfortunately, you don't want to see it happen. Hopefully, it's just a real bad sprained ankle, and they go, hey, you know what? Let's stop using venues where we have to raise the court. Because it's only a matter of time. And I get why they want to use these big stadiums, but no. I mean, it was cool the Final Four was here. Start waiting to hug out at the stadium, you know, watch the Sports Center shows, you know, saw Jay Billis and Dick Vitale and that whole crew. Took my son down to the Final Four experience, you know, sat there, watched Huggy Bear do an interview for a second. I was waiting to see if he'd go pull out a drink, but he didn't do it while I was there. So, all in all, it was fun. I thought it was a good tournament. A couple upsets, nothing too crazy, but quality tournament.
I won money, so it was a great tournament. And that's what I have to say about that.
I think I won $10, so I don't know.
I did much better than you. I also love the Brad Underwood hire for Illinois. I'm looking forward to Illinois basketball. And I'll say this, Paris, here's something to consider. Illinois basketball is now being talked about more than ever, well, I won't say ever before, more than in the last 5 years. The Chicago Bears, regardless of what people think about their draft and the moves they made, the Bears are now relevant. For good or for bad, they're relevant. Now people will be paying attention to Illinois basketball. They'll be paying attention to the Chicago Bears. The Cubs, who I hate, are World Series champions. People are paying attention to them. The Sox have been playing good baseball. Sox fans, at least, are paying attention to them. The Blackhawks, they went out. I'm not going to trip on them because they have a track record of doing what needs to be done to get back. We'll see what happens. They're going to have some salary cap things they have to worry about. But I trust that they'll figure it out. That's what they do. And then you have the Bulls, which is what I want to get to next before we get to the current series. You know, you have the Bulls who had a situation, in the middle of the season with Rondo siding with the young players siding with Rondo. And who would have thought that at the end of the year, Paris, that Rondo would be the glue guy that you were missing? We won the first two games, looked really good doing it, played good defense, good overall team play. Rondo goes down, and we lose four straight. Part of it was the bench didn't perform. You know my personal opinion about Wade, but I'm no fool. I can't sit here and put it all on Wade. He disappointed me with his defense in important moments. But it wasn't Wade's fault individually. You had the bench that didn't play up. Rondo going down, and absolutely none of the backup point guards, in my opinion, were worth discussing. And that was our downfall. their best player played more dynamic. I don't want to say better because Jimmy had a pretty decent series overall, but their best player played the best basketball when it was needed. And we, you know, when we couldn't stop him those last four games, the last three games, the fourth game, he really didn't have a great game. And I've always said that, Paris, sports is something that takes you away from your problems. There are a lot of people that have never played sports that are wondering, how is he playing basketball when his sister just died? Anybody that has played sports knows that the field, the court, the ice, that's the pitch if you're playing soccer. That's where you go to forget your life problems. But still all the same, props Isaiah Thomas played a good game, played a good series. What were your thoughts as a Bulls fan closing out the season? What were your thoughts on that series? And I also want to get your thoughts on the CP1. Is that what we're calling him now, CP1, because he can't get out the first round? It was CP3,
yes,
dropped to CP2, now CP1. So what was your closing thoughts on the Bulls season? And what were your thoughts on Utah beating the Clippers in a Game 7 in L.A.?
Well, it's pretty much what you said sort of, you know, sums it up for, I think, most logical Bulls fans. I still think that if Rondo doesn't go down, we're watching the Bulls at Washington right now in Game 2.
Right.
Call me
I would
homer,
agree.
Whatever it is.
But,
if
you can't even say you're
a
homer after they won the first two games on the road. I couldn't even call you a homer. I couldn't.
I think it was good experience. You know, Dwayne Wade, like you said, you know, he had his moments. I think he pretty much gave everything he had, you know, Game 5. That was pretty much it. And if you watch his history throughout later on in his career, he has good games with 2 days rest, but on him back, you know, with the 1 day rest in the playoff, not so much. And that's just a byproduct of being 35 years old.
Let me add something real quick though, Paris, on that. I'm fine with the old age thing, but on the offensive end, he had no problem running full speed, no problem jumping, no problem coming around picks when he had 24, 11, and 8. On defense,
right,
it was another situation. But overall, yeah, he's an old dude. He's got old legs. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. You know, Boston's a pretty tough team. You know, Avery Bradley can be a handful, and it just caught up to us. You know, good experience. For, you know, some of the young guys, like you said, you know, Shaq has a phrase to others, and the main difference in that series, honestly, because at the end of the day, honestly, if you look at the numbers, we did a pretty good job on Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas has become one of those guys now that every time he hits the shot, you know, Kevin Harlan, you know, those guys go crazy. You think he has 40, you look up, he has 21, and you're like, okay, we didn't do that bad against them. If you look at the numbers, we did okay against them. It's just their others. You know, guys like Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench, you know, and scoring. And our guys, we, after that game two, after Zipper had, I believe, 16 points, our others pretty much went fishing. And that's what caught up to us. You know, Jimmy banged up his knee, was going through a little plantar fasciitis, so he was slowed down a little bit. But we didn't get anything from our others, especially, you know, game three and game four at home. Really hurt because that was a very winnable game, especially once we came back and took the lead. But we could never get that, you know, those big momentum shots where, you know, a guy comes off the bench and he hits the three and you go up by five. And it's just that we couldn't just get over that hump.
Right.
Like you said, the point guards, man. And, you know, that was my whole thing during the season where I got tired of listening to these dudes complain about, well, you know, I work hard, I need time, when I'm in blah, blah, blah. And when the you-know-what hit the fan, they look completely inept. I know MCW will be on another team next year. You know, God bless them. It's been great. Thanks for coming. Bye. But Jerry and Grant, I have a feeling he'll be back next year. He better not never open up his mouth again. And mention playing time. Because this playoff series, that's what I say. I'm a big playoff guy. To me, regular season, that's just, you know, that's an appetizer. Now we're into the full court. Playoffs show me what you're about. It's a different level. teams are rested. They're going to lock into you. It's pressure. Everybody's watching. And those guys showed me that they are not ready. Quite honestly, I don't even know if they deserve to be on NBA rosters. I hope I'm not going too far, but that's honestly how I feel about Grant and MVW.
Yeah, I think
I think you're
a little upset, but I understand it, and I'm not going to argue with you. But we do have a call. And once again, 347-637-3859, the 480 area code. You're on Paris and Corey. Who is this?
That would be Rez. What's up, fellas? How's everything?
Rez,
right,
what's happening?
Yes. Hey, first of all, I want to say I want a Hawk clock.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm feeling it. I want one, too.
Corey, you're in Chicago. Can you hook a brother up?
Hey,
I mean,
I'm trying to hook my. I'm trying to hook myself up. I'm not even sure if I'm gonna be able to get off work. I know what I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hit eBay because I know somebody's gonna eBay or somewhere or the White Sox. The White Sox might get slick and they might try to sell them after the fact because I know they're only giving them out to the first 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know the sucker. But man, I want one though, man. It's a cool little clock.
Right. You know. Okay, I gotta have that. Okay,
but if I look online and find a couple and I can get a couple, I got you.
Oh, hey man, hook a brother up. Okay, all right. Okay, a couple things I want to talk about. Parents, I completely agree with you that NBA time playoffs, that's when the stuff hits the fan. Regular season, yeah, but playoff time, man, that's when it shows. If you got anything, you got to put it on the floor. Because
mm-hmm.
teams have a tendency, you know, coaches are matchups make, you know, matchups are very important, you know. Coaches have time to do more strategy and stuff like that, you know. So playoff time, that's definitely crunch time. The other thing, LeVar Ball, this is a perfect example of why one should keep their mouth shut. Because, you know, everybody, Nike, Armour, everybody passed on this boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because daddy's mouse. And I would love to be a fly on the wall at the dinner table. Next thing.
Honestly, I don't think that the boys have a voice.
You know, I agree with that.
So I don't
totally
think there's
agree.
Any conversation at the dinner table, unfortunately.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And it's what I said before when I called in, guys. This boy has a target on his back. Because I know if I was playing, I would coach. I want him. This is the one I want. Okay, next thing. I think it was a very class act. Atlanta Braves opening the new stadium and having Hank Aaron throw off the first ball. I think that was a class act. And whenever I think of Hank Aaron, I think of my boy Dusty Baker, Paris Dusty Baker. Okay, I always because my man Dusty Baker. Because I don't know why he ain't on my man Dusty.
I don't trust anybody who announces themselves as Dusty.
Yeah, you know, Dusty was batting cleanup behind Hank Aaron when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's wrist. Dusty was on deck. Dusty that year hit about 30 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. You know, 20 by 30 home runs. So, you know, I just thought I'd throw that out there with my man Dusty. But I thought that was a class act in Atlanta doing that.
That was cool.
That was cool. A couple more quick things. DePaul basketball, man, it just makes me cry, the condition of DePaul basketball.
Well,
yep.
I have some possible news for you.
Okay,
I was talking to Paris earlier today or yesterday, Paris,
mm-hmm.
and they are looking at one of the mean streets, one of the coaches.
Uh-huh.
And if they bring him in, supposedly he brings a commit with him,
mm-hmm.
brings a recruit with him. Okay. So I think DePaul is joining, is going to try, and those are rumors that DePaul might try to join the fray as far as, you know, you see what Missouri did when they hired Konzo Martin went in and he hired, I'm having a brain cramp on my man's name. He hired the coach whose son was one of the top players in the country. And his younger son is one of the top players in his class. They brought him in.
Okay.
Illinois went out and signed Chin and Antigua. And a lot of people think that that comes with recruits. You know, DePaul is – so I was telling Paris, you know, when I grew up, it was DePaul basketball.
Oh, man.
DePaul came on Channel 9. DePaul came on Channel 9.
Yes.
And
yes. Mark McGuire, Dallas Convergies days. I mean,
After Ray Meyer, Joey Meyer, and then we had that good couple years with Pat, what's his name, when they had Bobby Simmons, Quentin Richardson, and Lance, what's his name? They've been garbage since then. Not even bad. They've been garbage. But they're building a new stadium at McCormick Place. Not quite sure why. They're spending a lot of money on a stadium for a horrible team. But
hopefully
that'll bring the fans back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when is that opening? But, you know, I think that's a good move to get them back in Chicago, because going out to Rosemont with a city team like DePaul, I mean, I never could get that, because you're taking your fan base all the way out of the city, people who can ride the L, you know, take the bus and stuff like that. You put it them almost out there in O'Hare. And I never thought that was a good move.
Yeah, well, you know, the issue now is a lot of the students are saying that it's still not on campus. It's still not really that close. And the territories they have to necessarily go through and if late at night, it really doesn't do them any favors. But, you know, as we all know, if you win, they will come. If the ball was winning basketball games, Rosemont Horizon used to be full back in the day.
Yeah, this is true.
You know, when Villanova came to town with the number one team and a kid from Chicago, they sold tickets. When Xavier came to town, they sold tickets. When Syracuse was in town, they sold tickets. But if it's just a regular team, DePaul's not going to sell tickets, not right now. But hopefully it'll change, because, I mean, I think I'm not one of those people that says basketball needs this team to be good. But I think in this case, Chicago needs DePaul to be good. I think it would be nice for Chicago kids to have another option other than, first I want them to go to Illinois right now. But it would be nice for them to have another option that wasn't Chicago State, because Chicago State is miserable.
Absolutely, because it doesn't make sense with all the talent, basketball talent that's in Chicago, that these kids aren't going to DePaul. And it's because, you know, recruitment and everything, I mean, that's a whole long story. Okay, final thing, I won't hold up you guys' time. The final thing I was thinking about, I never thought that I would live to see the day that I could say that I've seen all Chicago teams win a championship. That includes the Cubs. I'm trying to hold my dinner down as I say that. The Cubs, the Sox, the Bulls, Bears, and Hawks. You know, so this is a glorious time to be a Chicago sports fan.
And I'm going to throw in the Sting 1-1 back in the 70s. The Wolves in IHL hockey, they won one. I don't think our MLS team has done anything. I don't think our soccer team has done anything.
I know they made it to the championship. We're talking about the Fire. I know they made it to the championship, but I don't know if they've ever sealed the deal.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever won.
I don't remember that either. Okay, so before I let you guys go, who are you pulling for the championship, for the the two teams for the championship?
Well, NBA. I think we all want to see Golden State in Cleveland, because that's as fans, that's what we have to see. They want that, and I think Golden State gets them this year. I really do.
I do too. Yeah. That's what I'm going with as well. So I'm
no argument for me.
Okay, brothers, keep on keeping on.
Hey, Ray, appreciate you, man.
Okay, all right, have a good one, man.
Back at you. Always love when Uncle Reg calls in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Paris. So, Chris Paul, let's leave the Bulls alone. They're done. They're gone. Chris Paul, game seven, he really didn't have a good game. A lot of people have over the years have said, you know, when it matters most, Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, as you called him, in a very hilarious post. By the way, people, if you're looking for a sports group to be a part of on Facebook, check out the Sports Authority. It's just the Sports Authority. The Sports Authority. I'm thinking about the show and other stuff. It's just the Sports Authority. Check out the Sports Check out the Sports Authority, TSA. We have a lot of sports conversation and there, a lot of back and forth, some really good debates. But as you said in the group, and it was started by Paris. As you said in the group, Paris, you know, CP3 is a Teflon Don. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. So because this is something that sticks in your craw, I'm going to give you the floor, Paris. What were your thoughts on CP1, as you call him now, and this series and how it went and how it closed out?
I'm going to call him CP1.5. I'll give him that. But to me, it's normally this is what you always see from a Chris Paul led team. You know, you have the talking heads like the Stephen A. Smith. That I'll use one of his words. Matter of fact, since I'm going to talk about him, that bogeyed all year about Chris Paul, and he's a floor general, and he, you know, makes everyone better, and he elevates the people around him. Yada 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 yada. You're getting to the playoffs. You got a game seven at home, and you go out quiet in the night. But that's what we've seen his whole career. Like the I saw a stat the other day. Since 2000, every team in the Western Conference has been to Western Conference Finals, except for what two teams, Corey?
I'm going to go with two teams that Chris Paul played on.
Exactly. The Hornets and the Clippers. There's not a coincidence in that. But, you know, everybody likes to make excuses and blame everyone else for Chris Paul. And, you know,
right.
A lot of they were saying, well, why are we starting with Chris Paul? You know, what about what? Well, because he's the man on the team. You always start with the man on the team. You know,
right. Nobody's going to blame Nico for the Bulls losing before they blame Jimmy Butler.
Right. If Golden State loses, nobody's going to Draymond Green. You know, that's not going to happen. If Cleveland loses, Kyrie Irving, he's second down the line.
And the key is how did they play? You know, it's one thing if Chris Paul went for 25, 10, and 6 and had a proficient game, but he didn't. Floor is yours again.
He didn't.
I'm throwing fastballs down the middle to you, brother.
And we've seen this before, like Game 6 against Oklahoma City, where he went into that whole little turnover garage. They were up, what was it, 3-1 against Houston, and completely had a meltdown. Game 6, where James Harden was on the sidelines for bubble guts, and they lost to Houston. How did you lose that game at all? So we've seen this throughout his whole career, and I think that it's time for the Clippers, because you don't want to, you know, I don't like that term, blowing up. You know, that really doesn't make sense. You know, it's cool for fans to say, and people in the media, you know, it sounds real good. I don't think they're going to go that route, and I wouldn't go that route either, but they definitely need to retool. Doc, the GM, is killing Doc the coach, because they've either traded all their young draft picks, or the young players that they drafted can't produce. He's missed on every small forward. I mean, I couldn't believe the game where I'm looking at the game and you're trying to come back and you're really relying on Paul Pierce. Come on, man. Paul Pierce was done like 3 years ago. So all that's a direct reflection on Doc Rivers. But Chris Paul, he has blood on his hands. It is what he is. You know, a lot of times, you know, I never forget I was watching that open court series that comes on TNT during the summer, NBA TV, not TNT. And I think it's a real good series. I don't know if you ever watched it.
I have. It's pretty good. It's a real good series.
And I'll never forget what Isaiah Thomas said, that 90% of the players that come in the NBA will not win a championship. And maybe Chris Paul is just, you know, we've had the Barkley, and, you know, we've had other Patrick Ewing and Reggie Miller, And we've had those great players, those Hall of Fame players, that never won a championship. And Chris Paul may just be another guy to add to that list. He just may be that guy.
I think it's, you know, it's a team game. And specifically now more than ever, Paris, we as fans equate greatness with championships.
Right.
And I think people forget that this isn't tennis. You know, it's not tennis where you can say it's your fault. It's your fault that you didn't win any more Grand Slams. It's your fault. There's nobody else to blame. But in the NBA, there's somebody else to blame, man. There's always a fall guy to the fall guy. You know, it's – but at the same token, you know, first, I've never really – I'm not a big fan of the he makes people better saying. I'd like to say you put people in a better position to have better chances. Like, you know, Magic Johnson didn't make James Worthy better. He gave James Worthy more open jumpers and more layups. He gave him better looks. Chris Paul did nothing in the way of making people better, as some people say, or in getting people better looks in that last game. He did some stuff for himself. But at the same time, you know, it's not all on him. I mean, losing Blake didn't help any. If I'm a Clipper fan or if I'm in Clipper management, it's very similar, Paris, very reminiscent now that I'm thinking about it, to what we as Bulls fans have dealt with Derrick Rose over the years. It's not that we didn't like Derrick Rose. It's that we got to the point where we couldn't depend on him physically to be a part of the plan when it mattered most. And how ironic that at the end of the year, the point guard that we signed was hurt, so a.k.a. Derrick Rose. But it matters most, as you said and as Reggie said, when the stuff hits the fan, you need Hall of Fame guys like Chris Paul, and make no bones about it. He's a Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame guys to play their best game. This is a game seven. And I'm in no way, shape, or form going to sit here in Paris and question the man's intensity or question his want or his will to win. I don't like doing that. It's game seven. He's a professional. He wants to win more. He wants to win more than his fans want him to win, because he's tired, I'm sure, of the critics and the criticism.
Right.
But, I mean, he's got another fall guy. He's got another scapegoat this year. People are going to say that the injuries were the downfall to the Clippers. People are going to say that. Specifically Clipper fans or Chris Paul backers. And at the end of the day, realistically, can't really argue with him too much. I mean, losing Blake Griffin does hurt. They still should have beat Utah, in my opinion. You know, it's not like they lost in the second round. They still should have beat Utah. But once again, Chris Paul, a.k.a., as you call him, the Teflon Don, has some built-in excuses. 347-637-3859. Once again, if you've already called in, press number one. Reggie, I know you pressed number one. Press it again, Reggie, so you can come out of the log, and if you want to come back in, we can bring you back in. What did you think about the debacle last night for San Antonio?
Well, you know, it reminds me of last year, game one, when San Antonio killed OKC, and then that series turned. But I think what's going on with San Antonio is that, you know, we all respect Popovich. And so every year we sort of expect for San Antonio to be there, but maybe the Spurs are just a better regular season team than playoff season. Because in the playoffs, you can expose their weaknesses. It's a whole lot easier to attack a Tony Parker and a Manu Ginobili and guys of that ilk. And we've seen it now for 2 years in a row. So they get to the second round, and it just sort of looks old. You know, I was watching all the call last night, staying on one end and pulling Dwayne Wade, sort of yelling at the refs while everybody's running. And I'm like, you know, he used to do that with the Bulls. He used to drive me crazy. After the refs make the call, it's not like you standing there and crying or making a blow whistle and go, hey, you're right, my bad. foul here for the – that's never happened, and it's not going to happen. Get back and play defense. And to me, they just sort of slipped. Now, I think the series will be more competitive because I don't think Houston is going to continue to shoot like that, at least for San Antonio's sake. They better hope Houston doesn't continue to shoot like that, because if they do this thing, it's going to be over in five. It really will.
Well, you know, I'm not real big on plus minuses in basketball. Quite honestly, it's one of those stats that I've always looked at and always kind of confused me. I understand what it is, but I never quite grasp, like, it's necessary. You know, because sometimes where a team will blow a team out and you're like, the plus minuses doesn't seem to fit. But for yeah. conversation's sake, the plus minus in this game, you had LaMarcus Aldridge with a minus 36.
Correct.
Now, Paris, I don't really get stats, but I know that means that there were 36 points scored against the team more than you scored while you were on the floor, or something to that effect.
Correct.
But if
Correct.
You go to the Houston side, you had Patrick Beverley with a 37 and Ryan Anderson with a 37 plus. And then
Correct.
When you look at it from the Houston standpoint, Paris, I'm looking at the stats here, not as though James Harden was the killer. James Harden
didn't
take the most shots. Trevor Ariza took the most shots. James Harden went for a nice little lazy, and I shouldn't say lazy because that's not wrong. He went for a nice, easy 20 points, 14 assists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patrick Beverley played a good game. Overall, just doing what Patrick Beverley does. But I think the one thing to your point is, like you said earlier, you know, David Lee is an older cat. LaMarcus Aldridge, mm-hmm. older cat. Tony Parker, older cat. Pau Gasol. Older cat, Manu Ginobili, older cat. You know,
now,
at some point, age is, like you say, Father Time is undefeated. At some point, that age is going to catch up to you.
Aldridge is really in his prime. He has no excuse for what he did last night, because that was a real BS effort that he put out. It really was. He's the guy that really needs to get it together.
By older, I mean above the age of 30. I think he's either 31 or 32, one of the two.
I thought he was 30.
No, he's 31 or 32 because I was looking at it earlier in the week.
Okay.
I just remember saying, wow, I did not know he was over 30 years old. I can't remember which one it was. I just remember saying, I know he's old. You know, he's over. Yeah. Yeah, he's been in the league for a good minute. Here it is right here. He's 31 years old. Yep, he's 31 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that explains quite the move, first of all. Maybe I need to cut up some slack, because I'm like, damn, dude, this slow. You know, I expect for Manny and all guys, but I'm like, and you know, and quite honestly, maybe Pop, like you said, Pop is one of those, you know, smarter than everybody else in the room type guys, but maybe he outsmarted himself when, you know, guys like Manny wanted to walk away, and he basically begged him to come back for another season. You know, maybe you should have left and you walk away.
Manny only played 12 minutes. And a guy like Pop, I'm not a San Antonio fan. I'm not really even a Pop fan, because I'm one of those people that still hasn't forgotten that he fired Brian Hill. Like, David Robinson got hurt. And he fired Brian Hill. Then once they got the number one pick, he took he went from GM to coach, and he then drafted Tim Duncan, and the rest is history. I haven't forgotten that he did Brian Hill dirty. So then the interviews. You know, I'm not the biggest Pop guy, but the one thing I think I know about Pop is that he trusts, quote unquote, his guys, and I think he would rather have Ginobili in there on his bench or a guy that he can look to in a big moment than some other cats. But this game, it was just one game. I mean, at the end of the day, it's one loss, you know, whether you lose by three or whether you lose by 33, in this case, 27, it's just one loss. But at the same token, from a momentum standpoint, Paris, it hurts when you lose by that much and you don't look good at all. Yeah, it's one game, but how many games does that momentum set in? Do you think this is something? Because there's a lot of vets on this team. It's not like these are young guys that have to figure it out. Do you think that the deficit is a bigger deal? Is it a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all? The deficit, losing by 27.
Not so much the deficit. I think the biggest issue for them is going to be trying to figure out how they can attack Houston and defend. Because what they're basically doing so if you're going to continue to play your two bigs, who is going to be the guy that can get out on the floor and guard a Trevor Ariza or a Ryan Anderson.
And Capella went for 20.
Right. Or do you try to go the other way and downsize and go with one big? And if you do that, can L.A. anchor the defense? That's the main question that San Antonio is going to have to figure out, exactly how they're going to try to attack these guys. Because Houston's not going to stop coming. You know that.
No, and again, the thing that I like most, Paris, was that when you look at Houston's starting five, everybody was in double figures except Patrick Beverly. But Patrick Beverly isn't necessarily a scorer. He had 7, but he had a plus 37 on that plus-minus ratio. Then you had Anderson with 14. You had Trevor Ariza with 23, Capella with 20, and Harden with 20. And I think the key there is that now if you're San Antonio, you can't even focus on Harden. Because Harden had 14 dimes.
Right.
You can't even focus on Harden. So you can't even say your game plan is to double Harden and make somebody else beat you because, yeah, they beat you. All of them. Not like one other dude beat you. All of them beat you. You know, they all beat you. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how it goes. Right now, Boston is chasing. What are they chasing? 11. They're chasing 11 on Washington with 8 minutes left in the third. What are you looking at in that series? I mean,
John
right now
Wall
we're looking at a 1-1-1, but
John Wall versus Isaiah Thomas.
Isn't that a great matchup for basketball fans?
It is. You know, John Wall has elevated himself. You know, we had a discussion earlier in the sports room. Is he the second best player in the East? Like, slow down. This kind of thing plays out here in the playoffs. But this, I think this is going to be a very competitive series. I give Washington the edge. I think Washington. I think Boston has some flaws that's going to rear its ugly head before this thing is over with. And I think Washington can outscore. It's just a matter of defending. And tonight you're doing a much better job. And having the Morris twin, I believe that's the marquee guy, we're getting mixed up. Having him back is huge. Because they were doing good the first day until big, dirty Al Horford came up underneath them on a jump shot. And, you know, that's it. Hey, I think that was a dirty play.
I want to ask about two players real quick. Gordon Hayward, I want to ask you what you thought about him in that series. And I also want to ask you from another standpoint about DeAndre Jordan. I want to add, well, now my question about DeAndre Jordan revolves around the fact that CP3, I think he can leave the Clippers this year, couldn't he?
Yeah, he has a player option.
Right. DeAndre Jordan into coming back. So I first want to know what you thought about Gordon Hayward in the 7-game series. And then I want to know what you think about the fact that now that one of the guys that CP3 had hemmed up in his house so that he wouldn't go anywhere might be left without a point guard.
Well,
I want your thoughts on those two.
I think Gordon Hayward's a good player. I don't think he's a max player. That's just my personal opinion. I think he's good, but I don't think he's a max guy. You know, he had his moments. You know, I told Joe to carry him that series. I told Joe stepped up big time. You know, the old dude cool that he still has no good left in the tank. And as far as Chris Paul, I don't think Chris Paul is going nowhere. Because I think they're going to get him $200 million reasons to stay. I think he's the face there of that team. And I honestly don't see him going anywhere. I really don't. I think he'll stick around. I think Blake is – I think J.J. Redick is gone. I think that shit has failed. I think he's gone. To me, the decision is going to be, what do you do with Blake Redick? You know, with his injury history, do you max this guy out? That's
okay.
And I'm sure right now they have their organizational meetings, just like the Bulls are having their meetings, where everybody, you know, put everything on the table and they get ready for the draft and solidify the offseason game plan and all that jazz. And I'm sure that's probably going to be worth 2 days worth of discussion. What do we do with Blake Griffin?
Well, I will say this before we move on about Gordon Hayward. I don't watch a lot of Utah games, but here are his last seven games. He's had 26, 31, 27, 40, 20, and 19. Squeezed in the middle of that is the game where he only played 9 minutes and he had 3 points. I don't know that he's a, like you said, I don't know that he's a max guy, but you better pay that man. Utah better pay that man.
I think they will. They could be on the most. It's just going to be a matter of fact of does he want to leave money on the table. It's like we were talking earlier in the group, you know, because Russ can get a $217 million extension or $179 million in some place else. You know, everybody's like, well, you know, it's the money. He's not going to pass that money up. But I'm like, yeah, you never know what he's got. You never know. It's not like $217 million or $3 million. We're still talking $179 million. And in today's world with endorsements, you know, $200 million shoe deals and, you know, Sprite commercials and all this other stuff, these guys make a whole lot of money off the court, and sometimes that makes it a little bit easier for them to walk away from deals that, you know, guys like me, you look at normal house and you turn down that money.
Right.
So
and I want to ask you one more thing before we, because we're down to our last few minutes here. We haven't talked about the upcoming Jazz Warriors series, so you picked the Warriors to win, but I still want your opinion on how you think that series is going to go, as far as, you know, from entertainment value, from a basketball standpoint, but also Cleveland and Toronto. We haven't mentioned them, so give me your thoughts on those two series real quick.
I'll give Utah one game. You know, I mean, it's a learning experience for a young team, but I think Golden State's a different type of monster. Utah probably actually has the, you know, quality chance to probably steal one tonight. But sometimes, you know, when teams have that 7-8 day layoff, they come out a little bit, you know, a little bit rusty. The team that's already lathered up and playing can come in and steal one. So we will see. Toronto has to decide what they want to do on defense. And it can't keep trapping like that, because Cleveland just has too many shooters on the floor. Personally, I would change them. Play them straight up. Take away a three-point shot and make them go iso ball where LeBron holds the ball and everybody stands around and watches. That's what I would do, because the grand defense they played yesterday, I think, actually played in the Cleveland's hand. Because you have no choice but to move the ball when you get double teamed, and help them get the rhythm of moving the ball and, you know, finding open men. So I think they sort of help Cleveland. Just play it straight up. Just because if you look at that team, besides LeBron and Kyrie, I'm not worried about those other guys really breaking you down one on one. You know, Tristan Thompson's just there to rebound. You know, Kevin Love he might get you from 16 or 18. He could live with that. And J.R. Smith is just a 3-point shooter. So play him head up. I'm going to try to make LeBron and Kyrie both score 30 to beat me if I'm playing against Cruz.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I did want to, before I go any further, I did want to add, you know, I know a lot of people don't necessarily keep up with the NHL playoffs, but Pittsburgh is up 2-1 over Washington right now, which is, I think, is a really good series. And, yes, Sidney has a concussion. Crosby has a concussion.
Yeah.
But that – If you are a fringe hockey fan, or if you're someone that's looking for a series to watch, that's the one that you really want to peek in on. That's the one that where you could see some really good hockey from some of the best players. You also have Ottawa up 2-1 over who they're playing, the Rangers. Ottawa up 2-1 over the Rangers. Edmonton and Anaheim. Connor McDavid is a name that people,
young kid.
If people don't really keep up with hockey, Edmonton, Connor McDavid. I'm not in any way saying he's Wayne Gretzky, but he has the potential to be one of the best players they've had since Wayne Gretzky in Edmonton. Right now, Edmonton leads that series 2-1 in a series that's the Blackhawks. I wanted the Blackhawks to be in. The Predators are leading 2-1, but they still have PK Subban, so. I it's not a lot of brothers in hockey that are also top players. You and I know we both used to love Jerome McGinley back in the day. What was my man's name, the goalie for Edmonton back in the day? Grant Fuhr?
Grant.
I didn't know he was
Grant
black.
Fuhr.
I didn't know he was black until like well after the fact. I didn't realize he was black until after the fact. You know, I'm not cheering for Nashville because I can't, but I do want to see PK Subban. Excel. I do want to see that. So that's what we're looking at right now in the NHL. So we're down, like I said, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here, Paris. I just want to get, man, just sports overall. What's on your mind before we get out of here from a sports standpoint?
I would say clickbait. I'm a big sports fan, and I do a lot of reading in sports, and I just feel like we've gotten to a point, you know, and it's not all reporters. You got a lot of guys out there to really try to do a solid job. You know, I actually listened to a Joe Cowley of all people podcast today, and it was a solid podcast because you know he didn't have an agenda. He just talked about the state of the Bulls. And I thought it was fair. You know, he didn't say nothing crazy, wasn't earth-breaking, and it was fair. But I think we've gotten to a point to, you know, I call it clickbait. I heard someone else call it something else on the radio today. Click monsters or something, where you have guys that put stories out now where they're completely unfounded, but they imply that there is some credibility.
What's worse is when you see the headline and then you go to read like I saw a headline about the Sidney Crosby thing and they said you shocking, and shocking was in bold print. You won't believe what the NHL did, and what they did was nothing. they literally did nothing. I read the story twice and I'm like, what did I miss? And then when I watched the video of the hit, I was like, it wasn't like the dude was trying to hit Sid. Sid got hit with a stick, and he kind of went off balance, and he kind of fell into the other guy. So, of course, the NHL is not gonna sit the other guy down. I mean, and I was like, I don't get it. And so, yeah, you know, we live in a society, Paris, where everything is based – I won't say everything. That's not fair. But where social media likes and shares – drive people.
Right.
There's a lot, you know, with, you know, people want to take pictures of themselves. People want their opinion to be heard. And it's not enough to just voice your opinion or to type your opinion. You need people to like it and to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, there's another portion of this that is about the money. Because when you're talking about people like you were talking about websites, outlets, because print is going out, people don't read. I remember when I first started working on the train, you could find maybe 20 newspapers on a train. Now you see none, literally none. Print media is a dinosaur at this point. So these people get paid off the clicks, as you call them, and a lot of other people call them, off of clickbait. That's how they get paid. So I get it, but damn, it can be annoying. It can be annoying when you think you're about to read a juicy story, and then you read through five, you waste 5 minutes of your life reading a story, and when you get to the end, you're like, hold up. But in the heading.
This isn't true. This, we were talking earlier, it was about the story about, the John Fox and the drafting of, the quarterback and all this. And when you read the story that the guy from ESPN had initially pointed out, it was completely false.
Well,
he used Chris Mortensen's name for something that Mortensen never said. Now, it's one thing to say, okay, maybe John Fox wasn't on board with this. I get that. That makes all the sense in the world. That's a fair point to take. I don't think anybody could, 100% say, well, that's not true, because, that's going to make sense. Maybe he wasn't on board. But we've gotten to a point to where saying that isn't acceptable. You have to go all in and say, no, he isn't, and this is why. And then when you read it, you go, that wasn't fair.
And we live in a society now, as far as social media goes, with sports media, I should say, where it's always sources. Like, there's never a name.
Yes.
Like, it's much easier for me to accept something, good or bad, if there's a name. Like, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, man, Paris said you ain't worth a damn.
Right.
I can be like, oh, Paris said that? Oh, okay, well, let me call Paris. But when they come to me and say, hey, man, one of your friends on Facebook said you ain't worth a damn. Well, which one? I can't say.
And you know what's funny about that is
I can't tell you.
I was listening to NFL radio last week, and what you said just reminded me of something. I'm listening to NFL radio last week, and a fan calls up, and he's talking about, I think he was a Titans fan, and he was talking about his story. And he's talking about what this scout said, and it was Pat Kerwin, and it was another guy. I want to say it was a Dominique guy, because they had a couple of ex-GMs on. And they were saying, basically, remember something. Because you've read these stories, and I have too, where they say, an area scout says this. He was like, those people are sworn to secrecy. He said, if you find out, every GM will always tell scouts, if we found out that you said anything to the media, you're getting fired. There's no coming back from that. There's no discussion. There's nothing. If we found out you have leaked anything to the press about what we might or might not be doing or how our draft board looks, we're firing. Plain and simple. So they always question, so how many scouts are putting their jobs on the line giving away information to the press? But when you read the stories, it's like you said, with sources, and a lot of that story has come from, a lot of guys like in the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski, right? Once you get that reputation as being an insider, then I think it gives you more leeway. And now even the non-Adrian Wojnarowskis of the world can write something and just say, a high-ranking official told me this off the record. Or a source with close knowledge of team operation and thought patterns. And that's all
and
it needs attached to a story. That's it. That's all you have to say.
And it could simply be a reporter making up his own information.
Exactly. But
because,
a
reporter never gives
source.
Up his sources, Paris.
And that's what they say. Well, I can't give up my source. Are you crazy? No one would tell me anything if I gave up my source. And that's what they say. And And it's to the point to where it just makes it hard now. You know, I don't care. All I want is facts, man. Just give me the facts, good, bad. Just give me the facts. But you see these stories, and it just makes you wonder how much of this stuff, you know. And I'll go back to this one more time because I know we have to get out of here. You know, and us being Bulls fans and following the Bulls, and we have all these guys, you know, this, you know, Nick Friedel, you know, Casey Johnson, Vincent Goodwill, Joe Cowley, you know, all these dudes spend the whole year telling us we have inside information. You know, we put our nose to the ground, we know people, this, that, blah, blah, blah. But yet, every one of them completely missed the Derrick Rose trade. How could you miss something that big and nobody had an inkling? Nobody mentioned it was a possibility. Nobody wrote about it. Nobody tweeted about it. We found out that thing was happening that day when it was already happening, when calls was being made to the NBA office, like, hey, we're down for the trade. So it seems like that makes me think and go, okay, so exactly how in are you? How did you miss this? You know, how did you miss the Derrick Rose trade? Because this had to be talked about. Gar Foreman and Phil Jackson just didn't wake up one day, get on the phone and go, hey, you know what? Let's trade, you know, Derrick Rose for, you know, this or that. No, these things happen. It was just like Dwayne Wade when we signed him last year and you saw the subsequent trade. Gar had already, you know, laid those trades out weeks in advance. You know, those things just don't happen where a player signs and then you see those trades. No, the Lakers deal was already in place. And who else did we trade off? The Dunleavy deal was already in place. So, like you said, sometimes it just makes you wonder. And I honestly wish that the credible reporters would start holding these other guys accountable more.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to argue with you on that. But it is that time, man. We have got to get out of here. So, I think we have to get a little more consistent with our shows, man. We kind of jump on and jump off. And, you know, sometimes we have problems with the website, but...
Let's do it again next week.
Sounds like a plan, man. Sounds like a plan. So, hey, we want to say thank you to everybody that called in and listened. A lot of people called in and listened. Hopefully next week you guys will want to get in on the show. Don't forget, press that number 1, plus 347-637-3859 is the number. We will talk to you next week, Sports Authority and other stuff. I'm Corey. That's Paris. We're out of here. Peace.
On the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connection, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check
You're
this.
The best damn show on the radio. You're with the best damn show on the radio. You're with the best damn show on the radio. You're with the best damn show on the radio. You're with the best damn show on the radio.